from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Do it. I think that rubs off on players. And I think Lovello just being so calm and doing his thing all series was a marked contrast to Derek Shelton, who finally had like the veneer of I'm always going to spin it positive crack yesterday. And it was in spectacular fashion. It was Starkey's old theory about if you meet somebody that never gets mad, when they finally do, it's going to be a volcano erupting. And for him, that pretty much was, hey, Holderman, you sucked. Be better. By extension, hey, Chapman, you sucked. Be better. Derek, he threw the fastest pitch in history to be hit for a home run, and it barely scraped the plate. It wasn't a bad pitch. You wouldn't be fixated on stuff like that if you hadn't blown two games, possibly, definitely one, with your own managerial decision-making.
So risk of hiring a guy when it's his first gig? It works sometimes. It doesn't work.
It works when you have better players. Let's be honest. It works better as a first-time guy if you have a loaded team, which he does not. They need a manager who can max out the roster they do have. That's the point.
He just made basic mistakes in a game. Like, the bunt thing, I honestly believe there might be a couple other managers. I think Lovello might have done it if he had first and second there. But then again, if you do it, you run the risk of them walking your best hitter, and you're in the same spot with Cruz and De La Cruz up to try to drive in the winning runs. So I don't know. I feel like you're not asking him to be such a managerial godsend that you look at him like Leland and think he's good for 15 or 20 wins a year.
Or Francona, who I think would take those Cleveland teams to new heights.
Just don't soil the bed. Don't bed wet. Don't have a 4-0 lead. Like, it. Honestly, I know they don't want to overreact and get emotional over 1 out of 162. But given the stakes for this series, if you're in the front office or if you're on the ownership side of the Pirates and you watch that meltdown yesterday in the crowd, the fans know to get Beeks in the game, to get a lefty in there, and the manager doesn't. You have to look at him differently after that. I would.
Well, he has always taken, I guess, a little bit of, you know, pride, I would say, in saying, oh, no, I make these decisions, because he's been asked about decisions to pull a guy or not pull a guy, and he's been very defensive about, no, these are my calls. Okay.
I think they give him a rubric or a script to go by before the game starts, but Ben Cherington is not calling him or texting him, hey, put
this
guy
in, take that guy out. I don't think Ben Cherington's such a robot that he would say, you have to leave Holderman in, we need him confident. Or like Beeks can't go today. We know that Beeks could go because he went the next inning. He has very little feel. He's a guy who, these are the first pony, the last like 2 weeks, let's say, when things have started to really pick up, they got on a little bit of a roll. These games post All-Star break are like the first true high-pressure games he's ever managed.
Yeah, and it
ever.
Shows. It shows, Chris. Maybe you'll get better with time, but they really can't afford that right now.
The first Arizona series, I thought, really showed it, and then this Arizona series drove it home, and you're looking at the difference of in managerial quality between a guy who just went three wins shy of the World Series and a guy who literally hasn't been there and done that because this is it. This is his first time.
So when you've talked about squandering or potentially blowing it with this cornucopia of incredible pitchers,
mm-hmm.
with Skeens and Jones when he's healthy and Keller and on down the line, the point of bring in guys to help them, how about the person that's actually pulling the levers on things too? You don't want that person to get in the way of having the most success with them either. Like that has to be. Similarly, not that it ended up not working out for anybody, but it's not all that different from what we said about the Matt Canada, Kenny Pickett discussion when they brought Canada back for another year. If you really want this guy to thrive, why are you asking him to do the coaching? If you really want to get the most out of these guys, why are you asking Derek Shelton to manage them with no managerial experience really whatsoever other than single A ball, just a hitting coach most of his career? Are you convinced? Are you seeing enough that makes you think this guy, who's relatively green to being the man, is going to get you to where you need to go? They hired Hurdle. They could draw off of in what is maybe the hardest place in all of professional sports to coach or manage because of freaking altitude. This guy got this team to the World Series, mm-hmm. and they went on one of the great heaters in baseball history to get mm-hmm. there. You had a piece of evidence that this person could be a good manager. The same way you had a piece of evidence that Ben Cherington could be a good GM because he won a World Series. You have none of that with Shelton, Chris. That's when you hire a 34-year-old head coach like the Steelers did with Mike Tomlin, you run that risk. When you hire Mike Johnston like the Penguins did, you run that risk. When you're saying, we're going to hire this erudite egghead to be Sidney Crosby's head coach.
And sometimes it works out like it mostly did with Tomlin. Or it definitely did with Tomlin, especially at the outset, and then it doesn't with Johnston. I think this is the year, though. I think this is the year to make the decision in the offseason. They have consistently put out that messaging that, yeah, even though we're doing well, we still think we're a year early. You have to cut bait if you don't see what you like from him down the stretch. And even if like they fall out of it and then the games aren't as high pressure, I feel like this chunk of maybe 20 or so, 25 games, tells you a ton about the manager. These are de facto playoff games. I know they're not because they can't lose it in one of these series, but they can get behind to a degree that feels insurmountable. You lose a couple more of these series in a row. And oh, by the way, guess what?
I don't think we're that far away from that.
We're not, because it's
three and a half games out, and they've got one of the hardest schedules in baseball. Right.
It's Pods, Dodgers, Padres. If you go like 2-7 in these next nine, you're done. Bing bong.
Yep.
And what makes anybody think right now, based on the way yesterday went, or even the first game of this series went to some degree, or even like one of the game in Houston went, however you might want to look at it, like who thinks that Derek Shelton's going to pull all the levers to give the Pirates the best chance?
And think about this too, like on one hand you have the great pitching work that they've done. There have been examples of teams that have fired their manager but kept pitching coaches. Where pitching coaches have been inherited, you're going to take this job, you're going to keep our pitching coach because we like what he's doing with our arms. So Marine would stay and Shelton would go. Shelton has this, going back to Canada, Shelton also has the same issue Tomlin had with an assistant coach. Shelton has Andy Haynes. So when you have that issue where you have a team that is not like, they've underperformed, they weren't,
supposed to be a good hitting team.
I think most people thought they would be average, if not better.
Here's what people thought the formula was going to be for them to win. Above average offense for once for this franchise, and a bullpen that shortened games to five innings because it was so good.
So you've got in-game mismanagement, and you've got Shelton, who is a hitting coach by trade,
mm-hmm.
handpicking this guy to be the person that sets the hitting program for your entire organization. And that is blown up in spectacular fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've probably got on the air and said at times things like, if they finish with a winning record, how do you bring yourself to fire him? How do you get rid of a guy if he goes 82-80 when they were picked to win 76, 77 games?
Because you can at least point to like five games he might have lost by himself.
Right, and I just think better is out there. I just think because there's dudes with plenty of experience who've either been to World Series or close, and some of them have even done it with smaller market teams, or it wasn't like they had $150 to $200 million payroll. I just think it would be a disservice to this team if we see more games like that from Shelton yesterday, which I called the worst managed game I'd ever seen in person, if they bring him back just because there was some kind of incremental progress made on the win-loss front at the end of the year.
The wrong way to, that's the scared way to do it. That scared money doesn't make money if you do it that way.
Oh, and the stock market right now, Malzi, is dealing with that. Stock market.
Stonks down?
Big time.
Arrow go down?
That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, I know nothing about
it. Is it a crash? Would you say, is this a...
I think it's all a reaction to like the Japanese stock exchange or
the
something.
Yen.
Oh, the yen is a big factor here. I asked one of my very smart finance buddies about it.
And they said yen
is... And he talked about yen and hedge funds and a lot of interest rates and just, boy, some stuff happening.
Donnie, you get into any of that stuff?
Oh, I'm all about big yen. They're really starting to run the show here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What else are you ticked about, Derek, besides the outcome?
The outcome of the game.
Is there something umpire-related you're talking about there?
I'm not answering that question. You guys watched the game. You watched Holderman's inning.
Snippy Shelton was livid with the strike zone and then what happened with the pitch clock, where good for Lovello was able to go out there and manipulate the umpires. You never see Shelton do that successfully. And thought that Holderman was getting squeezed. Okay, fair enough. He also got a gift from the umpires on Marte. The second out should have been a ball, and it was a strikeout. So I'm not going to like say, as much as I hate bad officiating.
I'm not in the mood to give him that out today.
Agreed.
It's not Eric Gregg in the 1997 NLCS. Donnie, you have no idea what that reference is, but our older listeners do. It's not a strike zone all game long that was so egregiously bad that it legitimately turned the outcome of the game.
And you know who else wasn't willing to give him that pass?
Hmm.
The venerable Chuck in Uniontown.
Managerial mistake number 5,884 this year. And it cost us, the biggest game of the season.
5,884 managerial mistakes by Shelton.
And if there's anybody who would have counted every one of them and cataloged them, it is Chuck.
I mean, Donnie, if you're Derek Shelton and you're driving around, would that not cut the deepest when even Chuck in Uniontown is destroying your managerial acumen?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I always call him the godfather of Pirates fanatics.
He's been, I don't think he's been a...
You always call him that.
I do.
I don't think that he's been a fan of Shelton for some time now. I've fielded numerous Chuck in Uniontown calls.
He's down on him?
And he'll call the Clearly. Sports call once in a while, and he has very few kind words to say about Shelton.
I can't blame him. Do we agree with this old man Yinzer on Shelton?
But let's stop sugarcoating everything. There's only one thing that Derek Shelton's good at. And that's giving his players nicknames. I don't want to hear about Chappie and this one and Scotty Too Hottie or whatever the hell else nickname he has. He has blown more games with his managerial changes at pitching. Go over all the games that we've lost, that we've had leads, because of Derek Shelton pitching changes. This is amateur hour.
Can you cut one part of that? I want you to
amateur hour.
I love this is amateur hour. You could play that on this show once in a while and it would fit perfectly. Scotty Too Hottie. Which player would be Grandmaster Sexay on this team? Or Rakishi?
We're gonna have Rakishi at first base.
Can't be this one, that one. I mean, even Zangrilli, you know Zangrilli can get very poetic.
Oh, yes, mellifluous.
Listen to this to start the show.
Right on left, and it should have been left on left. And there was an acquisition made for a guy that, yes, had thrown three of the last 4 days. And there was also a $10.5 million man in the bullpen that should have thrown that pitch, and it should not have been Colin Holderman. The Pirates lost a game because Derek Shelton mismanaged a 6-5 loss to the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's as plainly as it can be put. The biggest game of the year, the biggest season of the year, managerial malfeasance occurred at 1:15. Federal period. End of sentence.
Manager, do you think he wrote out managerial malfeasance and wanted to make sure he got there?
That was like a Jim Nance call where he would script it out. Managerial malfeasance at 1:15.
Or I could imagine it was like an old Bob Costas NBA Finals intro where he would script out.
That was beautiful.
It was nice. It was very nice by Dan.
Here's a caller from. Here's an idea from a caller in Beaver Falls.
I don't know what the next move would be, but Terry Francona is sitting over there in Beaver County, and I don't know if we need more discipline and less. I love you. You know what I mean? Out of your manager.
He wants
New
Francona.
Brighton's own, the pride of New Brighton.
Would Francona come here? I don't think so. No. He's had health problems.
Can you imagine what the ice cream budget would be? Now, Perry's very good ice cream now. It's available at the ballpark. Francona's ice cream habit would be a sight to behold.
Well, popsicles, too. Didn't he say, like, one night he ate, like, 19 great popsicles?
I thought
he woke up and there were, like, the sticks were stuck to him and whatnot?
I thought it was popsicles and ice cream. Like, a gallon of ice or a half gallon of ice cream would go down the hatch. I mean, that's a great thing to be addicted to, but it ain't exactly good for the health.
No, it's not. All right, let's hear what our callers have to say if they can live up to what we heard on postgame.
Amateur hour.
That might be my favorite.
It's great. It really is.
Zach is in Sarasota. Hello, Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up with you?
Not much.
Would you want Shelton back next year if you had to make the call right now? Would you bring him back?
Absolutely not. They gave him that extension last year just in the middle of that streak. I couldn't believe it. You know, there's excuses about the roster over the years and his decisions. It is what it is. Nah, this guy, you can't say anyone's improved other than pitching. The guy's a hitting coach. The guy's former catcher, I believe. All these catchers are supposed to be smart. Every night I turn the game on and I just sit here frustrated having to watch what happened yesterday.
I think the in-game stuff is worse than the hitting philosophy because –
I think some of their players just aren't good hitters, but like he doesn't play the numbers or like have a feel or anything. We had a great tweet. I got to go back and read it, Pony, because I think it's worth reading. Bill tweeted in when we were talking generally about Shelton early. Yesterday is a microcosm of my frustration with Shelton. I have no idea if he's a feel guy like leaving Holderman in or if he is an analytics guy bunting Kiner Falefa. He has no identity and it feels like he's just guessing. Zero consistency from Shelton's in terms of his decision-making. I think that's pretty on
He's
the money,
Harvey
man.
Denny. He just flips a coin.
Shelton pitching changes. This is amateur hour.
I like that a lot.
He
I
said
do.
R like a...
R. This is like amateur hour.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Here's Tom in Pittsburgh. Hello, Tom.
Oh, hi, guys. What's happening?
Hey, Tom.
Well, first of all, you know, you take all the teams that are in contention right now. I mean, they have very good advisors on the bench. And what's Sully have? You know, he really has pikers on there. And I think as far as next year, it's going to depend on how the Pirates finish this year, if they keep Shelton or not. Now, you
what would they
have
to do for you to keep him?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, with Shelton, okay, he gets nervous, he panics under pressure, he has a bad judgment, he has no feel for the game. And I think he really has to, for them to keep him, I think he has to get the correct advisor, especially in pitching situations.
Thanks, Tom. I just think that if you need to go to that great length,
that's
for a
your
manager,
job.
Then
that's your job.
Then you need a new manager.
And well, no, the guy you're going to is the advisor for critical decisions. Why isn't he your manager?
Exactly. He sounds like he's really the de facto manager. Evan is next. Hello, Evan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to give two reasons as to why he's not the guy as the manager. Number one, Cruz is now playing perfectly fine. Righties, lefties. I'm hitting wise. He still has his issue striking out. On Saturday, he was eighth in the lineup after a 5-for-5 night. Because there was a lefty pitching. That's ridiculous. He's your second best hitter.
Yeah, these aren't the 1927 Yankees. You don't have Gehrig and Ruth hitting ahead of him and Cronin.
Yeah. And then my other example is we were down 2 runs yesterday. Originally, I thought that it was smart to make IKF bunt. But then I had a friend talk to me, and he made the good point. Bunting there when you're down 2 with 2 guys on is basically playing not to lose, which is what his answer was. His answer was,
we were playing for the tie.
Our plan was to tie. We just traded for IKF. He's hitting 290. Yeah, you're worried about putting the ball in play for contact, but he's a quick guy. Let him bat. Let's see what happens. Of course, in hindsight, if he puts that bunt down, we're not talking about
Evan,
it.
Evan, if he puts the bunt down, I think they walk Reynolds and you still have Cruz and De La Cruz with the bases loaded.
That's another fair point, which is why you can never do the, you know, hindsight's always 20-20 thing. But those two examples, and like you guys have said, he's not great in high leverage situations. The guys seem to like him, but not enough to make him think he's a great players coach. And
but Evan, he just had no feel. He had no feel for like his player yesterday in Holderman. He's like, I'm gonna throw him out there. We want him to get right,
and then murdered him after the game.
The minute it went wrong, he was like Julius Caesar's buddy. A two Brute.
Managerial mistake number 5,884.
Damn. I mean, you think Chuck has like a bunch of sheets of paper like taped up on a wall, and every time there's a mistake,
it's a tally mark.
One tally mark goes down.
He's got the diagonal slash through
for five. Yep.
I know this. Nobody loves that team more, and that is as pissed as you'll hear Chuck.
I was there and it ripped my heart.
Well,
out.
I think Chuck respects smart. I know Chuck respects smart baseball.
He loves the cerebral game.
Well, his critiques are always on point. He never just like comes out of the chute with a bunch of BS.
No.
Would you have pinch hit Hayes, who has been slamming lefties this year for Cruz, if that
Hell
had
no.
gotten to that point?
Nope. I would not have.
That would have been the numbers play.
I don't care. That music means it's time for a debrief brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon, Donnie's hangout spot in Mount Washington, and it comes your way at 4:30 like it does every day. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia today. Don?
The debrief, August 5, 2024. The NFL Top 100 Players list officially completed. I believe it was Friday night that it came out who the final 10 were. T.J. Watt found himself at number 8 inside that top 10, just ahead of Max Crosby and Travis Kelce, and just behind Trent Williams and Chris Jones. Number 1 spot does not go to Patrick Mahomes. In fact, Patrick Mahomes not even in the top 3, not even on the medal stand. Tyreek Hill, the number one man, according to the players in the NFL.
I could have seen that based on the regular season Mahomes had, even though a lot of it was due to drops, if the Chiefs didn't rally to win the Super Bowl.
How did having the NFL's number one player as voted on by the players help the Dolphins against the Chiefs in the playoffs?
It did not. And the guy ranked number four lost the guy that was number one, and he's won two Super Bowls since. Hill, if not for that one game he missed, could have gotten to 2,000 yards. I know it's in a 17-game season. He had a tremendous year. I would have been actually fine if they put McCaffrey and Hill ahead of Mahomes before he won the Super Bowl. It's putting Jackson ahead of him that drives me nuts. That's the one where if I cared about lists like this a lot and wanted to get worked up in Kansas City and wanted to look for things to annoy me, even though I've won the last two Super Bowls, that would be one that the NFL players got together and think right now, Jackson is a better quarterback than Mahomes when there's, other than an MVP award, there's no other reason to justify that choice.
So it was Hill, McCaffrey, Jackson, 1, 2, 3?
Hill, Jackson, McCaffrey, Mahomes, and then Garrett was
fine. The NFL players are very dumb.
They're bad at this.
Not just because they ranked Mahomes fourth, but they gave a guy who I think is very competitive, but not maybe like a complete psychopath like Brady used to be about this stuff, a huge slight on which to build.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you don't think Mahomes with Xavier Worthy is going to be very motivated to prove that he made Tyreek Hill, got him a big contract, and nice for Tyreek, he's having huge numbers, but give me a super fast guy and I'll make it work? What a dumb list. And Jackson, the only quarterback I could even see right this second putting in Mahomes' stratosphere actually is Allen. I think Allen's better than Jackson. And I know Allen turns the ball over a ton and
no
goes
Stroud.
Hero. I would go Allen is still better than Stroud, and you know I'm a big Stroud fan.
Burrow?
And Burrow. Dude, Allen is a Terminator, man. If he hadn't run into Mahomes how many times in the playoffs, how many Super Bowls would he have? You remember the Bills, of course, were my mythical Super Bowl champion in the 13 seconds.
Can't forget about that.
I think the idea that Jackson is up there from the players, like, what are they doing? What are you watching? When rubber meets the road, when push comes to shove, who gets it done almost every single time?
That makes me feel better about them putting Garrett over Watt, because if they're not smart enough to put Mahomes one, then they really are terrible at this.
You know who I would have a case that's just, this is a hilarious one. I think there's actually a case if you were going to put Mahomes something other than one on this list, Trent Williams, in my opinion, would have the best case to actually be number one. Just sheer dominance.
Ahead of McCaffrey?
Yes.
Huh.
There are people that feel Trent Williams is the best left tackle ever.
Who are these people? Name them.
Football people.
The football people.
The football cognoscenti. I'm just saying, people talk about him in
who
that,
is
like,
the best left tackle of all time? Munoz?
Munoz, to me, is the pick. But, like, there are people that talk...
How about Joe Thomas?
Never played on a team that went to the playoffs.
That doesn't bother me.
No, Joe Thomas is in the team picture there. But I think those three are a pretty good starting point. My point is, if you were going to do that, like, when Donald was still playing... If you were going to have Mahomes not be number one, the guy ahead of him had better be a slam dunk, no questions asked, not just a Hall of Famer, like a pantheon of pantheon type guy.
I thought McCaffrey had an incredible year last year. So I think you could have made an argument that he was the MVP in the NFL, even though they only give it to quarterbacks.
Who is the NFL's worst player if they did a bottom 100 and you couldn't pick like random guys?
Well,
who is,
based on what's going on in Eagles camp, Kenny might have
a claim
to that.
Who is the worst
throne.
Player in the NFL that has actually gotten run?
I think they should
run.
Start doing that list. That would create a lot of controversy.
I remember when the one guy in Washington who was like a long snapper was the lowest rated player in Madden. He went on like a huge Twitter rant about why he was better than a 53 overall or whatever.
So, Ayuk is 66th on this list.
Yeah.
Here are the wide receivers that the players thought were better than him.
Okay.
Waddle.
Okay.
There's one.
Can you give me where the player was ranked overall,
yes.
too?
So Ayuk 66.
Mm-hmm.
Waddle is 63. There's one.
Mm-hmm.
Stephon Diggs, 56. Man, he went ice cold in the second half of the season, Chris. Plus, he's older now.
So Ayuk, 66. Waddle, 63.
Yep, and Diggs 56. He's 30 now. I would not.
He's going to have one interesting ass year. Let me.
I don't think
you.
He's their best receiver. I think
Collins is. Yeah, I agree. But he might have a new lease on life.
Keenan
getting
Allen
out of there.
51.
I think he's criminally underrated.
Agreed.
Man.
And to be honest with you, even though I want the Ayuk deal, that's the trade the Steelers should have made.
I would agree. I think we are actually in agreement on something. I think he's a monster.
The guy rolls out of bed and he can get you 15 catches in a game. And usually against the Steelers, it was against inside linebackers.
Total technician. Yeah, I was going to say. Total technician.
Chase 45.
Oh, we have to stop this right now. Jeremiah has sent a horrifying picture to all of us. Donnie, check your mentions. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. It's you as a centaur. It's your head on a centaur.
I mean, they're kind of giving Pony a lot of credit here. I mean, he looks
like
jacked.
The pecs? Yeah. Well, I don't think I've ever seen like a fat centaur. They're always yoked up.
I do have a personal trainer now.
Anyway, as you were. So, Keenan Allen, 51.
Then Ja'Marr Chase, 45.
Man, I know he's coming off like not a great year for him, but he is. That's a low ranking.
You think that's low? Wait till they get a hold of this. Davante Adams, 40.
Jeez.
So there's five receivers ahead of Ayuk. Puka Nacua, 33.
Huge year, but is Puka Nacua definitively better than Ja'Marr Chase?
No.
Right.
And I don't think he's better than Ayuk, even though he was a...
He was awesome, don't get me wrong.
Out of left field. I mean, he set the
prisoner of the moment stuff, I think. Okay, keep going.
Deebo Samuel ahead of Ayuk. He came in at 30.
Jack of all trades, I guess.
60 catches, 892 yards.
He's like a fun player, and he's an MF-er when he has the ball in his hands, which is why he's so fun to watch. Is A.J. Brown ahead of him?
I'd rather have Ayuk. Mike Evans, 26. No issue. I mean, the guy every single year.
If we're talking historically overrated, I think he should be an automatic Hall of Famer. I don't feel football people, like your casual fan, talk about him that way. He should be. He's an automatic slam dunk first ballot Hall of Famer.
Amon Ross St. Brown, 23 on the list.
I got no issue there.
A.J. Brown, 21, so that's 10 receivers ranked ahead of him. Justin Jefferson, 18. That seems low.
Seems very low.
CeeDee Lamb, 13.
CeeDee Lamb ain't better than Justin Jefferson.
But is he better than Brandon Ayuk?
Yes.
I agree.
By a lot.
And then Tyreek Hill. So 13 receivers are ahead of him. They have him as the 14th best receiver in the NFL. Don, do you think 14 sound about right for Brandon Ayuk? Is it the third bowl of porridge, or is it too hot or too cold?
I think it's close, but I do think that there could probably be questions about a couple of the guys around him.
I have a guy that's going to shock you both that it's not on this list ahead of him that I think should be Garrett
Terry
Wilson.
McLaurin?
I think McLaurin could be, yeah.
You love Terry McLaurin.
Scary Terry would be a fan favorite here. Do you know why? Consistently productive with ass at the quarterback position. And what do people here absolutely love?
Ass?
Maybe. But they love a guy who doesn't have the diva personality, goes out there and just balls
out.
Well,
I think the most controversial take that you have is you believe George Pickens is actually better than Brandon Ayuk.
I think he has more talent, but I'm not going to go and say that he's better yet. I'm not.
I think
Wilson's a better receiver.
But
than
I feel like
Brandon
in the
Ayuk.
Heat of an argument before, you have said
I
that.
I probably
Pickens
have, but I think I probably had to walk it back because Pickens so far has been more of a one-trick pony.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.